She opened the door, looked up at him, and smiled.
Come in,
said Ioana Prumado in her little girl's voice.
Sit down.
She still wore the sweater and jeans she had arrived in. Her room was neatly arranged, emptied suitcases stacked in the far corner, garment bag hanging behind the door. Her laptop computer was open on the desktop, but its screen was dark and silent. There were no pictures on the walls, no personal items in sight. Jamie took the chair that stood by the bunk. I've told all the others, Jamie began, that Dr. Lee asked me to stay here at McMurdo to help you and the rest of your group get through your 6 weeks here as easily and profitably as possible. Ioana went to the desk and sat at the chair behind it, turning the desk into a protective barrier. Her face entirely serious, she said.
We can be honest with one another, James.
Jamie. Her lips did not curve up into a smile. Her luminous dark eyes were somber.
You are here to make certain that I get through this part of the training. You have stayed behind because I am Alberto Brumado's daughter and for no other reason.
Well, she's no fool, Jamie said to himself. She's under no illusions, no pretensions. Dr. Lee asked me to remain here, he said.
Because of me.
It was his first big decision as expedition commander. Her eyes would not leave his.
And what about your training? Your own group is going ahead with its regular schedule, is it not?
You're going to Utah, yes.
And you?
Jamie made himself shrug. I've spent most of my summers in New Mexico. Maybe Dr. Lee figures I don't need any more time in the desert. Ioana shook her head.
He asked you to stay here? He himself? Personally?
Yes.
And you agreed to do it?
What choice did I have? Tell Lee that I refused to carry out his first major decision? How would that look on my record? She bit her lower lip.
Yes. He did not give you any real choice at all, did he?
Well, I'm here, and you're here, so we should try to make the best of it.
But you will be throwing away your chance for position on the mission just for me.
I guess that's already been decided, Jamie said, surprised at the obvious bitterness in his voice.
I could call my father,
said Ioana, tentatively, her eyes sliding away from his.
I could tell him what Dr. Lee has done to you.
Jamie tried to probe beneath her words, understand what was churning inside her. She was not angry, yet something was radiating from this elfin woman as she sat behind the desk. Was it fear? Bitterness? A sense of injustice? Are you afraid that the others will think you're getting special treatment, he asked.
I am getting special treatment.
And you don't like it?
It could cost you your chance to make the mission.
But it's important to your father that you go to Mars. Her eyes went even wider. Is that important to you, Jamie asked.
Important? That I go to Mars?
Right.
Of course it is important. Do you think I am here merely to satisfy my father's vicarious desires?
A part of Jamie's mind was registering the fact that Ioana was beautiful. Her figure was certainly adult enough. Not even the bulky sweater could hide that. It was her face that gave her the lost, defenseless look of a street urchin, vulnerable yet knowing, and that tiny, whispering voice. Her deep brown eyes were large and almost as dark as Jamie's own. Jamie looked into those luminous eyes and saw emotions battling against one another. What is she afraid of? He wondered. She says she doesn't want to be your father's pawn, yet she certainly doesn't want to be left behind. That's unmistakable. She wants to go to Mars. Badly. I'll help you, he said. That's my job assignment now.
I will call my father and tell him what Dr. Lee has done to you. It is not fair that...
Jamie silenced her with an upraised hand. You don't want to be causing trouble between Lee and your father. That would be bad for everybody, and especially bad for you.
But you? What about you?
He made himself smile. The Navajos believe that a man's got to keep in balance with the world around him. Sometimes that means you must accept things that you don't particularly like.
That is stoicism.
Yep, I suppose it is, said Jamie, trying hard to mask his real feelings. 5. I do wish Father DiNardo were here, Anthony Reed said to himself for the 20th time that morning. He's the only one who can keep that Austrian prig in his place. Reed was at his desk in the small room that served as the base dispensary. The snow had been shoveled away from the room's only window. Pale sunlight drifted in, and a milky, pearl-gray sky showed through its triple panes. In place of the bookshelves and equipment racks that crammed most of the offices in a half-buried base, the dispensary contained an examination table and medical equipment. Reed shared the office with the in-house physician, a surgeon who looked after the routine medical needs of the base's regular staff as well as the Mars trainees. Reed's work was more concerned with the computer on the desktop than with pills and bandages. He was serving in the role of psychologist for the trainees more than medical officer. The computer screen showed that his next appointment was with Franz Hoffmann. Reed loathed the Austrian geologist, loathed everything about him, especially his reputed successes among the women trainees. He kept wondering how any decent, self-respecting female could let herself be touched by that neo-Nazi. Yet the tales were undoubtedly true. Hoffmann had a way with women, a way that Reed found himself envying. He hunched forward in the creaking swivel chair and flicked his fingers across the computer keyboard. All the details of each trainee's medical and psychological records were available to him. Perhaps there was something in Hoffman's background that could be used to disqualify him for the mission. Reed searched Hoffman's dossier avidly, the thought of spending 9 months in a cramped spacecraft with the Austrian depressing him beyond measure. Nothing. His record was immaculate, impressive even. Doctorates in physics and geology, excellent health, no psychological history at all. As far as the record showed, his only contact with psychologists had been when he had taken standard tests as part of the Mars Project requirements. The test results were dismally normal. Either he's just as dull as he seems, or he's a mastermind at hiding his true personality, Reed thought. No mention of his amours, of course. That kind of information seldom got into the record, unless there was an incident too awful to be hushed up. "Ah," Reed said aloud. Softly, but aloud. An incident too awful to be hushed up. Perhaps one could be manufactured. He needed a victim, a woman who would not only be offended by Hoffman's advances, but who would make a stink about it, and he thought he knew who it should be. Flicking rapidly through the files, he found the woman. Her background and her personality profile were well nigh perfect. From what Reed knew of her through personal contact, she would be frightened and enraged by the Austrian's boorishness. "It's worth a try," Reed murmured, a crooked little smile spreading across his handsome face. "I could even stand by to console the poor wench afterward." He cleared the computer screen and looked expectantly toward the door. Precisely at the hour set for his appointment, Franz Hoffmann knocked once, then opened the door and stepped into the dispensary. He looked as if he were ready to receive a knighthood. Round face shaved and scrubbed pink, hair slicked back, crisp, fresh shirt and trousers with a crease that could slice bread. Even his shoes were polished. Come in," said Reed happily. Throughout the perfunctory physical examination, Reed had difficulty keeping a straight face. He kept thinking of Browning's wonderful soliloquy of the Spanish cloister with its perfect final line, "Grr, you swine." Reed chatted affably with the Austrian, using his best bedside manner. Hoffmann had only two modes of discourse, as far as Reed could tell, either scowling suspicion or smug superiority. Taking Reed's affable manner at face value, the Austrian responded with infuriating haughtiness. "He doesn't even realize he's doing it," Reed thought, which merely damned him further. As he took Hoffman's blood pressure and laid him on the table for an EKG and tapped him here and there, Reed slowly, subtly moved their conversation to the subject of women.
"I don't know how you do it," Reed said smoothly. "I seem to be all thumbs around a pretty girl." "It is the fault of your schooling, I think," said Hoffman. "You Englishmen are sent to boys' schools. You never see women until you are graduated from college, except for your mothers and nurses. That is why there are so many homosexuals among you."
Reed broke into a sunny smile. "Grr, you swine," he said to himself.
"Most young women are looking for father figures," Hoffmann expounded. "It is not necessary to wine and dine them.
merely show them a mixture of